and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. You're watching The Future is Female. This is the show where we find the extraordinary in every woman. So today on the show, I'd like us to think about what kind of education, what kind of skills we want for our children as they grow up in a world of exponential change. Now, one local social enterprise is already hard at work addressing this. Aris Academy wants every Malaysian student to be critical thinkers and problem solvers and equipped with the skills necessary for the digital age. So Aris Academy is founded by four Teach for Malaysia fellows, and one of the co-founders joins us on the show tonight, Alina Amir. Welcome to the show, Alina. It's good to have you here. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's really good to talk to you, particularly because I've been following the work of Aris Academy. So maybe what we can do is, you can set the scene for us. Tell us a little bit about what Aris Academy is doing, what it hopes to achieve, and why it's doing what it's doing.
Okay, so Aris Academy is an education social enterprise that works towards building meaningful learning experiences. So this is done through our student programs, teacher trainings, content development, and also community outreach. So I co-founded Aris about 5 years ago with three other teachers. We were all fellows under the Teach for Malaysia program. And at the end of our two-year fellowship, we wanted to do more for our students. It came about from seeing our students in the school that we were teaching in. They were very uninterested in the things that they were learning. I happened to teach English, and kids would ask me, what's the point? They would tell me, English is bahasa penjajah. And I also happened to teach sejarah, and it's not a popular subject among the kids. One of them told me he doesn't have to learn sejarah because it's not something that he can bring to the grave.
Wow.
They didn't see how they could make use of anything that they're learning in school other than to pass your exams. And the kids we were teaching have not been passing a single exam for a few years already. So they didn't really see the point. So when we started Aris, we wanted them to fall in love with learning. So we even called ourselves Aris, which means current, because we wanted them to always be moving, not be complacent with where they are at. So we made them learn through projects. We gave them problems that they had to think about. And instead of just writing it out or just thinking about it in theory, we get them to make something. With everything that they create, we also made sure that they could answer, how is their creation making the world a better place?
Okay, so one of the things I love about Aris, Alina, is the fact that, what you're doing is you want students to be thinkers, right? To think about something, to ask the why behind what you're learning, and to have fun doing it. So come back to that story about, the young boy who says, I don't think sejarah or history is of relevance to me besides passing my exams. When you were a Teach for Malaysia fellow, when you were in schools dealing with these children, looking at the curriculum, did you see a relevance in what they were learning? Or was it just, kind of rote learning, memorizing?
At that point when I was teaching, I had to quickly innovate the way that I was delivering my lessons. So immediately, I had to find a meaning in teaching sejarah. I had to find a meaning in teaching English. So I look out for real life instances of when sejarah is being used in real life. So in sejarah, there is a topic where they learn about Ashoka, Tamadun India, and they learn about all these wars. And we introduced the concept of world peace. We introduced the concept of how Ashoka moved from being, a warlord into someone who embraced Buddhism and embraced peacefulness. And then we spoke about, where do we play a role today in contributing to world peace, for example?
Oh my goodness. And you didn't have teaching background before this, right, Alina? If I'm not mistaken, you were a consultant, were you, before you joined the education system, before you joined Teach for Malaysia?
Yes, I was in a management consulting firm before I joined Teach for Malaysia.
Okay, all right. So how, and you know, when you went to teach for Malaysia and you had first-hand experience in a classroom dealing with students, then you went on to set up Aris Academy. Talk to me a little bit about what you've learned during that time, because I can imagine that must have been a very steep learning curve, and particularly knowing what you know now, how has, you know, the way you've approached your programs, the thinking behind it, how has that all evolved during this period?
So when I first became a teacher, I thought it was going to be simple. I was going to go in, teach them as much as possible, and they're going to all ace their exam. But I remember an instance when I first realized that one of my students, whom I've taught him for 2 years, one day I found out that he was completely illiterate. He was able to go by copying others' work neatly, and he just slipped through. And then I realized that if this one child has slipped through the cracks, how many more were there? I had nearly 200 students at that time. And this definitely taught me not to make quick assumptions, to really get to know each and every one of them, to really understand what are they struggling with, rather than having a standardized assessment where it doesn't really show me what they're capable of. So we started after 2 years of teaching, after 2 years of opening up my homes, running community-based education programs, and we wanted to build a safer space outside of the school, outside of the community environment, where students were able to make mistakes freely, that it's okay that they've been failing. We embrace failing as learning and is very proud of it. When new kids come to Aris, especially the younger ones, I would always say, welcome to Aris, you can touch anything. And immediately you can see their eyes brighten up. So we want to build trust with our children, and we have very high expectations of them. So the educators at Aris are very open. We don't know everything, but we're more than happy to learn together with our children.
You mean even the simple act of saying you can touch anything was something new to these children?
Yes, because in the school environment, oftentimes when you go into a science laboratory, for example, you're always told, don't break anything, until I tell you to. Yeah.
So what does that do to children? Does it mean that, you know, they feel they have a safe space to learn? Does it mean that they feel they can tap into curiosity, creativity? Is that what it is conducive for?
I think it allows them to be brave, to come forward, because they know that it's okay to make a mistake. Okay. It's okay to break something, because then we can learn how to fix it. So that is the kind of culture that we're trying to build in Aris with our students.
Right. So the other thing that Aris is doing, and you know, you're very clear about this, is you want to equip Malaysian students with 21st century skills. And I wanted to delve a little deeper into that. What Aris defines as 21st century skills, what Aris defines as multiple literacies, multidisciplinary literacies, because in my mind, children growing up in this age, in this world, have to deal with so much. There's digital literacy, there's financial literacy, there's media literacy, digital design, communication literacy. I can't imagine an education system that can equip them with all those skills. It feels almost overwhelming. How's Aris approaching this, Alina?
Okay, so maybe let me address the 21st century skills first.
Sure, go for it, yeah.
So 21st century skills, it encompasses a lot of active thinking and active doing. So we see critical thinking, problem-solving skills, collaboration, creativity, and communication skills in the list. However, we are still very much in the culture of acing centralized exams that mostly come in written format. So this does not allow for our students to critically think and be creative when these assessments come with a very specific rubric, a specific answer scheme. It's very one track when we all know that our children are all very, very different. Mm-hmm. So at Aris, we started off with a lot of focus on STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. But as we grow, we realize that it's important that our students understand the interconnectivity of subjects and skills. So rather than picking a specific subject that we want our students to learn, we opt to approach things in an interdisciplinary approach. And this often comes in the form of a project. So it includes literacy beyond numeracy, reading and writing. It includes digital literacy, where they use technology to solve problems. They learn about media literacy when they start doing their research. They learn financial literacy when we tell them that project resources are limited. So be very careful with how you budget them. We make sure arts is included. Your work must be aesthetically pleasing, must be able to showcase your personality. So project outcome differs. So from building actual models to writing and presenting spoken poetry, for example, all of these are considered as assessment to us. It's considered as achievement to us. Nothing is one size fits all kind of assessment at ARUS.
That's amazing. I think the project approach is great because it's hands-on, it's experiential. So they're working on something and then, you know, it's goal-oriented as well. Okay, Alina, we're going to take a quick break, but there's still so much more I want to ask you about ARUS. So let's come back and continue this conversation. We will be back with more in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned to The Future's Female. Welcome back to The Future's Female. I'm speaking to Alina Amir, who is the co-founder of ARUS Academy. It's a social enterprise focused on education, equipping our children with 21st century skills as they grow up in this you know, exponential world of exponential change. So let's continue our conversation with Alina. Alina, I wanted to ask you because, you know, students in a classroom often come from many different backgrounds, and it's often the underprivileged students or students that come from underprivileged homes that struggle with 21st century skills or are left further behind when they don't have access to private tuition classes or extra classes to equip themselves with these types of skills. How does ARUS plan to narrow that gap? I understand you do work with children from underprivileged homes. Are you seeing that gap close when it comes to the classroom?
Yes, definitely. We do see the gap. And when ARUS first started, our main beneficiary were and still are the B40 students. We wanted to make sure that we were addressing B40 students' needs. And we have been a firm believer that for us to meet every child's needs, we must first meet the needs of the most vulnerable and the most marginalized. So in keeping this in mind, we then saw a few more inequalities in the way our culture have shaped our students' perceptions and beliefs. Just recently, I was running a program at a nearby PPR in Kuala Lumpur. And oftentimes when I ask them, what do you want to be when they grow up? It's always just what they see around them. If they see police officers, if they see soldiers, if they see this is what they're going to be when they grow up. So when we start to talk to them about wanting to explore outside of their PPR, outside of their community, outside of what they are comfortable with, it has never occurred to them that they were able to think big. It has never occurred to them that that was possible for them. So when we were running ARUS also, we saw girls would usually shy away from technology and innovation related programs. And so we decided we were going to create a special club just for them. And until today, we still run Girls for Engineering, Math and Science. And this year is the first year where our alumni from the very first batch of GEMS came back to teach girls in primary school under the same program.
That is amazing. So they came back to teach other students about that. That's how you break the cycle, right? That's how you get more girls involved and interested in STEM subjects, in the sciences. But also, I know inclusivity is very important to ARUS. And it's not just about gender, but it's also about difficulties in learning, what competencies you have. How are you incorporating that in all your student programs?
So when we first started working with stateless children after coming to KL, expanding our office in KL, we got to know the stateless children in Chowkit. So we made sure to always include them in all of our youth programs, or at least get feedback and input from them before, because we know that the stateless children with limited resources, if they could follow our lessons, if they could be inspired, there is a higher chance that our students in schools will be able to do the same. And as we more online content, we started to think about how do we make sure that they are inclusive? How do we make sure that children with special needs are able to follow online content? So recently, we were part of Global Money Week, and we had classes on financial literacy, where we included sign language interpreter as part of our teaching course. In our program called Future Skills for All, where we taught coding and programming, we included subtitles in four different languages, Malay, English, Tamil, and Mandarin, taking into consideration that our children learn best in their mother tongue. And so all of this into consideration, regardless of what subject we were trying to teach.
Okay, and you mentioned a bit earlier that it's important that educators, but that your educators are also, you know, believe in this ethos and also are equipped for this. How do you approach that? I mean, from the teacher's perspective, the educator's perspective, do you provide training for them? You know, are there a lot of young educators who want to come and try the Arus Academy approach?
So my favorite project is a science project where we use Tasitchini to teach about Earth. And Tasitchini, being a UNESCO biosphere reserve, means that it has natural life in all of the components of the Earth system. So putting in context, putting in purpose, makes both teachers and students appreciate the knowledge more, and at the same time build advocacy to preserve our environment. Immediately, a lesson becomes more powerful in the classroom.
So do the teachers, so is this a voluntary proposition? I mean, do they come to you and request for teacher training, or do you work with schools and school administrators to ensure that, you know, like you work with certain schools and the faculty there? How does it work with Arus?
So we work very closely with the Ministry of Education. We work very closely with the district education offices and the state education offices. And that's how we get our kids in.
And what about your student programs? So it's still quite small scale, right? So you've got student programs and then you work with the students within the community, so within the vicinity of Arus. Any plans to take that to a bigger scale, to a more national scale?
So at the moment, we've been we are considering of setting up a full-fledged school. Nothing in the scale of scaling it up to the entire nation, but really creating like an education lab where we could test out all of this pedagogy and approaches in a more full-fledged environment. So we have always been an after-school program, but we've had kids come up to us to ask us, why do they have to go to school if they could learn everything with us? So this got us thinking, what if we are the main school?
And what's the answer to that? If you're thinking, if that is, say, a kind of a blue ocean scenario, you're thinking about what if Arus Academy was the main school? Have you guys thought about what kind of school you want to be?
Definitely. So we have been working with amazing teachers from an NGO in Chowkit called Buku Jalanan Chowkit to teach students who are stateless and marginalized. And we plan to set up a full-fledged school in the near future to have these marginalized students, especially from these vulnerable communities, to enroll with us. The reason why we want to start off with them is because they themselves are not enrolled into any school at the moment. And we want to try and see if we could get them enrolled into a full-fledged school, sit for proper assessment, and change the trajectory of their lives.
So this is a very different approach to learning and teaching than the ones that we're used to, right? With decades of a certain way of, you know, very teacher-centric learning and teaching. What do parents say about this, Alina? When you talk to them, the parents of the students that you're teaching in Arus Academy, are they open to a new type of learning and teaching?
To be honest with you, Melissa, we've had parents pulled out their kids from our center only because they didn't see the point of teaching it. We have always been very honest with our parents. We have always told them that you enroll your kids into Arus not to ace your exams, but to ensure that your kids fall in love with learning, that they're passionate about one thing, to find and explore what they're interested in, that they want to stay in school. And that is the whole point of Arus. If you are here for rote teaching, if you think that you're going to enroll your kid into Arus and immediately he or she's going to ace his exam, we are not the answer. You might want to go into Kumon or a tuition center instead.
Okay, so what you're doing is trying to instill the love of learning. And I think what we underestimate is that once that love for learning has been instilled, it lasts a lifetime. So I'm with you on that. Alina, it's been a really challenging year for students, for teachers, for people within the education ecosystem and parents at home because of home-based learning, because schools have been shut down. How do you see the future? I mean, we're all going to have to adapt to this new normal, so to speak. How is Aarhus Academy adapting to remote learning and home-based learning while staying true to the ethos of instilling a love to learn?
So one thing that we have always been doing even before the pandemic was to ensure that we run our lessons in a way that is blended, that there is always an interaction, physical interaction, but also an independent time where students are on their laptop researching and finding out new information on their own. So blended learning has always been an approach that we believe in, that we need to blend the physical interactivity together with digital and technology and ensuring that our kids are also independent learners, that they are able to look for information on the net and answer our projects as a team. So for now, we are still pushing our kids to come online, do collaborative work online, and make use of technology, make use of accessibility of technology and all of the features that we have provided for them. So that is something that the educators at Aarhus have always made sure is that we are skilled in delivering blended learning approaches.
Okay, Alina, we've got a couple minutes left. And I just want to ask you, I know it feels like sometimes it's an uphill battle or challenge to make even a small dent in the way the education system is structured, in the way Malaysian students learn and their outcomes. Why do you keep doing what you do? Why haven't you given up? Why are you in this line of work, Alina?
I think I'm in love with what I'm doing, mostly because I get to meet the kids face-to-face every time you run programs. And once you meet them, they're always asking, teacher, when are you coming back? Are you coming back tomorrow? Are you coming back next week? And that gets me going every time. Even at the toughest times, even when it's very challenging, just seeing the kids wanting to learn, accepting changes in your life and requesting for help gets me going. And as a mother, I'm always thinking, if this is my own child, what would I do? I can't stop, I can't give up until every child's needs are met.
And you have a young child yourself. What kind of education do you want him to have when he's old enough to go to school and you enroll him in a Malaysian school? What are you hoping that he will be learning in those classrooms?
Yes, I have a three-year-old. and my hope is that he would be able to enter a school that would allow him to explore, that would allow him to express his thoughts, that would allow him to play as he learn. And these are all the things that I believe in. I don't believe that teachers should know more than the child. I believe that teachers should be facilitating learning and should be there to encourage learning rather than to be telling them what to learn.
Right. Alina, thank you so much for speaking with me on the show today. I'm so inspired by what you do and why you do it. Keep up the good work. Thank you so much for speaking and sharing a little bit about what Aarhus Academy does.
Thank you, Melissa.
All right, that's all we have for you on The Future is Female for this episode. But I will be back with you same time next week. Thank you so much for watching, folks. Good night.